This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
I have an idea that some of you that are watching right now have had a yard sale. I remember having one many, many years ago, and my wife has had some since then. And I noticed one thing, and you probably have noticed this yourself. Somebody will walk up and they'll point to an object and they say, "Well, what is that worth?" A friend of mine said he had one, and people would point to something. They'd ask, "What is it worth?" He'd say, "A quarter." They'd point to something else, and they say, "Well, what is that worth?" He'd say, "A quarter." Something else, "A quarter." Another fellow walks up, he said, "I know. I want that, and I know it costs a quarter. What is it worth?" Have you ever thought about this? What is Christianity? What is Christianity worth? What is Christianity worth to you? We're going to talk about that today. I want to welcome those of you who are watching Getting to Know Your Bible for the very first time. I'm Billy Lambert, the speaker on Getting to Know Your Bible, and we're delighted to have you listening, watching the television broadcast today. We have many who listen by radio, and we're delighted to have you listening today. Today on Getting to Know Your Bible, we're offering a free Bible correspondence course. There are people taking this course literally all over the world. We hear from people in Nigeria, we hear from people in India, and many other countries around the world. We want you to have this course. You say, "Well, now there's a hitch, because people always want money. Television broadcasts like yours always want money." Well, you're looking at one that's a little different, because anything we offer to you, it's free, absolutely free. All you have to do to receive the course is follow the directions we're just about to give you. So in order that you might know more about the course and how to receive it, let's take a momentary break.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama, 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
I want to read to you today from the 14th chapter of Luke's Gospel, and I'm reading verse 27. "And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." You know, our world today is filled with various religions, all kinds of religions. You can find books that are entitled "Religions of the World." There are all kinds of religions, and I don't pretend to know all of them. I know some of them. I know something about some of them, but I know very little about most of them. But what about Christianity? Well, what is Christianity? What is behind Christianity? How did Christianity come to be? So let's talk about that for just a few minutes. So I'm going to ask this question, try to answer it very simply. I'd encourage you to take notes on it, to write down the points that I'm making today. Get you a pen and a piece of paper and write this down. What is Christianity? Number one, it is a system of faith or belief with Jesus Christ as its teacher. or prophet. Jesus Christ is our teacher. For example, in John the 3rd chapter and verse 2, Nicodemus said, "We know that you are a teacher come from God." And Jesus was a teacher that came from God. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1 says, "God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake unto the fathers by the prophets," listen to him now, "has in these last days spoken to us through his Son." So Christianity is a religion with Jesus Christ as its teacher. He is the teacher. Jesus was upon a mountain with some of his disciples. Moses and Elijah appeared there with him, and this is the occasion when we call it the transfiguration of Jesus. And God spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now listen to him. Now listen to God speaking to you today. Hear you him. Listen to Jesus. Where Jesus Christ is the one who is our teacher. We follow the teachings of Jesus Christ. Number two, Jesus Christ is our lawgiver. So Christianity is a system of religion with Jesus Christ as its lawgiver. Now, if you were to follow and examine the various religious organizations of the world, you would find that they follow some kind of book. Book might, most of them, if not all of them, were written by some man who was the originator of that religion. But Jesus Christ is the teacher, is the lawgiver of that which we read and study today in the Bible. So someone says, "How do you know?" Well, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2 says that we are to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill what? The law of Christ. Jesus has a law. He's our teacher, and Jesus is our lawgiver. But let me ask you a question. Do you know when Jesus gave us that law? Do you have any idea when he gave us that law? Let me turn in your Bibles with me over to the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, beginning in verse 15, that we read from the writer when that law was given. Listen to him. "And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under" what? The first testament, that is the law of Moses. That they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead." If you have your last will and testament already made out, it's not going to be effective until you die. Now let's continue to read. "Otherwise it is of no strength while the testator liveth." There it is. Your will is not effective until you die. Jesus died that he might initiate or give his law to the world. We call it the Word of God. It's also referred to as the gospel. Jesus Christ is the lawgiver. You say, "Well, there are probably imperfections in the law." Well, granted, there are imperfections in some of the translations of the law. There are imperfections. But let me tell you what kind of a law this is. In James 1:25, James refers to it as the perfect law of liberty. Let me put it another way. The perfect law that liberates. Well, let me put it another way. The perfect law, guess what? That sets you free. Jesus said, you will know the truth. See, truth can be known. Many do not know the truth because they're not searching for the truth. I believe with all of my heart there are people watching me right now or listening to me right now who are searching for the truth. Well, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Isn't that wonderful to know that we can be made free by the law of Jesus Christ? Of course, we have to obey it. First of all, we have to learn it. We have to study it. We have to read and learn about it. And then we have to learn what we need to do to please God. And then third, we need to do, obey what we learn that we must do to please God. Now, Christianity is a religion with Jesus Christ as its teacher and its lawgiver. But let's look at something else. Christianity is a religion with a system of belief with Christ as the example that people should follow. As a matter of fact, you may want to write this verse down, 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 6, where we're told to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Well, I could spend a whole session with you today talking about following the footsteps of Jesus. We're to follow His example of love and mercy and kindness and compassion. We're to follow His example of concern for our fellow man. Oh, we ought to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. In other words, to be like Jesus. We're to follow like Him. We're to be like Jesus. A man was in a third country one day, and he helped a little child that was in need. Probably I can just picture that child maybe in tattered, dirty clothes, maybe malnourished. And I don't remember what the man did for him, but he said the little boy looked up at him and asked him this question, are you Jesus? Are you Jesus? You see, people, Christianity is a system of belief with Christ as the example to set. I've studied some of the other religions, and I can tell you, I don't want to fall in the footsteps of some of them because they were rather cruel people, vile people. And Jesus sets the opposite example. Well, here's another point about that. Christianity is a system of belief with Christ as the core and of our affections and our the way that we feel in our heart. Sometimes people said, you know, I've got enough in my heart I wouldn't have to put my hand on a stack of Bibles to say I love Jesus. I feel it in my heart. Well, what do we mean by that? Let me read a passage to you from the book of Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. This is exactly what I mean, that Jesus is the center of our affections. Our life centers around Jesus Christ. Every part of my life centers around Jesus Christ. My social life centers around Jesus Christ. My work life centers around Jesus Christ. My home life centers around Jesus Christ. My religious life naturally would center around Jesus Christ. We do not compartmentalize our lives. Jesus is our life. Now let me read the verse to you. Philippians 1:21. For to me to live is Christ, and die is gain. Some would have to say, for me to live is to be popular. For me to live is to make money. For me to live is to have fun. For me to live is to go out on Saturday night. But those who follow Jesus say, for me to live is Christ. So what is Christianity? I hope that's a brief, concise, definition of what Christianity is all about. Secondly, what is Christianity worth? Well, let's find out from the Bible. And here's a verse that you know, John 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, that is in the Son, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, God loved you so much that he was willing to give Jesus for you. That's what it's worth to God. God was willing to give the royal gem of heaven to save you from everlasting punishment, and that you might have everlasting life. Isn't that wonderful? That's what it's worth to God. That's what Christianity is worth to God. There would be no such thing as the Christian faith today were it not for the sacrifice of God. Listen to Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But God, this verse starts with God, but God commendeth. Another way to say that is kind of God recommends this. God commendeth his love toward us. His love toward us. That means you. That means me. That means the entire world. God commendeth his love toward us. And that while, listen to him now, we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I had a man to tell me one day, I've done so many things, God couldn't save me. God loves you too. I told him, you're the kind of man Jesus came to save. God commends his love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ, listen to him now. This is what Christ did. Christ died for us. Picture in your mind the cross of Jesus Christ. And try to get a picture in your mind of Jesus on that cross. Picture him there with those nails that fastened him to the cross, the crown of thorns that's upon his head. He's still bleeding from the scourging, from the unimaginable beating that he received. His body is a bloody mass. And he's dying upon that cross. The Son of God. Dying, you know why? Because he loved us. He did it for us. Why? That we might have everlasting life. And in heaven, there will be no death. And those who go to heaven will have everlasting life. Or let's put it another way. We'll just live forever in a glorified body. Now that's what it was worth to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gave himself. He's referred to in the book of Revelation, chapter 13, verse 8. As the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God in eternity planned to send Jesus to die upon the cross for you and for me. What is Christianity worth? What is it worth to God? It's worth his Son. And his Son shed his blood to save us. I love reading the prophets. And there's a passage in the book of Zechariah, the 13th chapter. And in verse number 1, that reads like this. in that day there shall be a fountain open to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And this will be a fountain filled with blood. We sing a song sometimes, there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners that are plunged beneath that flood lose, listen to it, they lose what? Their money? No. That they lose their house? No. They lose their nice shiny car? No. They lose all of their guilty stains. What is Christianity worth? Now I have a third question before our time is up today. What is Christianity worth to you? I know what Christianity is. It's a system of belief with Christ as a teacher, as a lawgiver, as an example, the center of our affections. I know what Christianity is worth to God. He gave His Son. I know what it's worth to Jesus. He laid down His life for His friends, did He not? He even said in the 10th chapter of John that He laid down His life for the sheep. Jesus Christ was willing to die for us. He was the Son of God. Can you imagine where Jesus was? In heaven? At the right hand of His Father? And yet we learn in the book of Philippians that He emptied Himself in the form of a servant, being found in fashion as a man. He humbled Himself unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus was with God and He came down from heaven. He came down from heaven for you and for me. But what is it worth to you? You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 5, Paul is writing about the people of Macedonia. And the people of Macedonia were very poor people. We would say they were almost at the bottom of the barrel of poverty. But they were willing to give to help other people. But verse 5 has always been a verse that just, when I read the 2 Corinthians chapter 8, it just pops off the page at me. This they did, not as we had hoped. That is, not as we expected, but first gave themselves to God and unto us by the will of God. They first gave themselves to God. You see, unless a person gives themselves to God, surrenders themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, Christianity is not going to mean very much to them. I am persuaded that there are people in the Church of Christ that attend every service. They sing every song. They bow their head for every prayer and listen to every sermon and partake of the Lord's Supper every Sunday morning. But for some reason, they do not involve themselves in the work of the church. They do not involve themselves even in a worship service. The men do not want to participate, lead a prayer, things that men are allowed to do biblically in our worship service. I'm convinced back behind that somewhere is this reason: they never first gave themselves to God. It's surrender. Listen to Jesus. Matthew 16:24. If any man will come after me. Now the fact is, don't all come after Jesus. They don't want Jesus. Everybody doesn't want Jesus. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. We ought to feel the weight of the cross. and surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that means that we surrender is to His will. Jesus said, "Why are you calling me Lord, Lord?" That is, they called Him Lord, but they weren't His servants. Because why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I tell you to do? That's in Matthew 7:21. You see, we've got to surrender. I'm convinced that when we surrender to the Lord has me locked, stock, and barrel. Everything about my life is centered around Him, as we've also already suggested. That means God has my time. I'm to use my time wisely. Paul said in Ephesians 5, to redeem the time. That's what it means. Buy up the opportunity. And use our time to help others. Use our time to help promote the cause of Christ. Use our time to save souls. My time belongs to Him. I'll tell you what else belongs to Him. My pocketbook. My pocketbook belongs to Him. I remember many years ago, I baptized a young woman who said, and I think this is the truth as I recall it, but it's been many years ago, and she's a faithful child of God to this day. She said, "Brother Lambert, I want you to baptize me with my pocketbook too. Because I want to give God the very best I have." And I'm convinced that's the reason that young lady, who is now an older woman, has remained faithful to the Lord. She gave herself to the Lord. That's what it's going to cost you. I'd urge you to believe on Jesus, to repent of your sins, confess your faith in Christ, to be baptized into Christ. This is the reason. Jesus said it in, and you read it in your Bible, in Mark 16:16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Isn't that simple? 1, 2, 3. I'd urge you to be baptized. If you'd like to be baptized, call us. We'll make arrangements for your baptism. I'm Billy Lambert, and I want to thank you for watching today. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you, is my prayer.
Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call 1-877-711-5214. Join us next time for Getting to Know Your Bible.